Good morning. Finally, Friday is back, and with it, it brings along a degree of truth, or should we say the lack of it. There is no point even wishing Smriti Irani a good morning, because after yesterday, we hope she's having a better day today, with at least the lies off her chest now. Irani, who had been rubbishing opposition's claim that she is not a graduate in her poll affidavit, accepted on Thursday that she undertook her exams for Bachelor of Commerce, which is BCom first year from Delhi University's School of Open Learning, but did not complete the three-year degree course. And if this wasn't enough, Union Minister Smriti Irani's man Friday, Ravi Dutt Mishra, at whose house she used to stay whenever she visited her constituency, Amethi, joined the Congress party on Thursday. It is 12th April 2019, and the first phase of elections saw all the vagaries of Indian democracy, even as the polling continued in some polling centers in Andhra Pradesh past 10 p.m. I mean, there was that incident in UP police, or should we say Yogi's police, in a sticky position for carrying food in Namo boxes. The electronic voting machine was back in news, came in for intense criticism again, several complaints on malfunctioning electronic voting and paper trail machines, several voters claiming their names were missing from the electoral rolls, and the indelible ink mark on the index finger of voters being not so indelible in some cases. While EVM malfunctions were reported from all districts of Andhra Pradesh, 8 Lok Sabha constituents that went to vote in Western Uttar Pradesh, the northern, eastern states of Assam and Arunachal, and Uttarakhand, West Bengal and Odisha. But what really made me laugh was the Andhra Chief Electoral Officer Gopal Krishna Dwivedi, who was not able to vote because of an EVM malfunction. But two workers from the TDP and YSR Congress were also killed in Andhra Pradesh clashes. But the cake should always go to Uttar Pradesh, which has all the answers on bigotry. While the Union Minister Sanjeev Balyan was asking Muslim women to remove their veils to check for fake voters at a Muzaffarnagar police polling station, causing a standoff that prevented the Muslim women from voting for over 2 hours. While he's no stranger to bigotry, the man is an accused in the 2013 communal riots that left more than 60 people dead and 50,000 families homeless. Yes, he's a union minister and he belongs to the BJP. And while we are on fantastic Pradesh with more orange than a Fanta bottle, looks like EC is finally doing its job and at least pretending to be neutral. Pretending because I still fail to see how the complaint against Mayawati and Adityanath be the same. The Election Commission yesterday issued a show cause notice to Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath for his Ali and Bajrang Bali remark while addressing a rally in Meerut. His comments were in response to BSP Supremo Mayawati's appeal asking Muslims to vote for the opposition alliance in the state. Well, at least with Mayawati, we knew she was addressing a Muslim crowd. I mean, when in Deoband, who else would you address? I mean, just read or hear Amit Shah, who was talking about infiltrators who would not be sent back from India, Buddha, Hindu and Sikhs. I don't know about Hindus, but sure, Buddha and Sikhs are no infiltrators. Obviously, that tag is only for Muslims and Christians, who the Shaka breads think have been corrupting India since millennia. And while we're on corruption, you have to hear the arbit, totally absurd reasoning of Modi government when it comes to the electoral bonds. That scheme that not only makes black money white, fills up BJP's coffers, makes crony capitalism and lobbying as legit as demonetization. I mean, it's very difficult to figure which one is a better scheme, demonetization or electoral bonds. For a party that wants to make India corruption-free, LOL, the Narendra Modi government has been vigorously defending the scheme that allows anonymous donors to buy bonds from banks to fund political parties. Attorney General K.K. Venugopal yesterday said, "Transparency cannot be the mantra." I mean, that's the central government's attorney general. And he further added, "My opinion is voters have the right to know about their candidates. Why should they know where the money of political parties is coming from? If the identity of buyers of electoral bonds is not known, the government's effort to curtail black money in elections would be futile." The Supreme Court made sense yesterday. The court made the observation on black money when the center said in response to a question that the issuing bank cannot say who bought which bond. So far as the electoral bond scheme is concerned, it is a matter of policy decision, Attorney General K.K. Venugopal told the bench that included the Chief Justice of India. The center then asked the court not to interfere now and examine after the elections. Venugopal, representing the government, said it is not the voters' concern to know where the money comes from. Wow. The court reserved its judgment, which will come out today, an interim judgment, but it will definitely have consequences if Supreme Court actually sees sense. And with that, let's head off for international news. Let's start with Nepal first, where yesterday Nepal banned the popular online game Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, popularly called PUBG, saying its violent content had a negative impact on children, according to an official who told Reuters. But the big news internationally was the unfolding in Sudan, where President Omar al-Bashir, who ruled Sudan in autocratic style for 30 years, was overthrown in a military coup. But protesters' jubilation was short-lived as they took to the streets demanding military leaders hand over power to civilians. Announcing the ousted Defense Minister Awad Mohammed Ahmed Ibn Auf said Sudan would enter a two-year period of military rule to be followed by presidential elections. Now, Bashir has been indicted by the International Criminal Court in The Hague and is facing an arrest warrant over allegations of genocide in Sudan's Darfur region during an insurgency that began in 2003 and led to the death of an estimated 3 lakh people. From genocide, let's move to hacking, and no, not the Indian right-wing sorts, but more Julian Assange style. Julian Assange is facing extradition to the United States and up to 5 years in prison after he was forcibly dragged from the Ecuadorian embassy in London on Thursday, bringing an extraordinary 7-year diplomatic stalemate to an end. After 2,487 days in the embassy, the 47-year-old was arrested after Ecuador revoked his political asylum. Well, that is pretty much all I have, except this last news story about botched up penis enlargements. Where doctors in Papua New Guinea have warned of a nationwide problem of men injecting foreign substances, including coconut oil and silicone, into their penises in an attempt to make them bigger, leading to penile disfigurement and dysfunction as a result of injections. Substances injected include coconut oil, baby oil, silicone, and cooking oil. And the side effects are serious, sometimes irreversible. So please use coconut oil for your hair, baby oil for the baby, and cooking oil for cooking. Do cook up a storm for yourself over the weekend and have a wonderful weekend ahead. See you again on Monday, and thank you for listening. Goodbye from takeapart.in.